Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And you can follow this in the bulletin. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as a wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone here at Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yeah, I thought I had to practice that. Let's do a bit more responsive here. Merry Christmas. Excellent, excellent. My name's Albie. If I haven't met you before, I'm the minister here at Grace. We normally have a question and answer time after the talk. We won't today. So if there are any questions which come up, please jot them down or see me afterwards. It'd be great to keep wrestling with this passage that was read out for us. Can I say especially welcome to you if it's your first time with us today, or if you haven't been for a while, it's great that you can actually be here with us. Christmas time's a great time, isn't it? It's one of those times that we get to, step back. And we get to see what's important. Christmas is one of those times that we get to take a step back. We get to see what's important. What really matters. For the rest of the year, we are caught up with all these other things that we're trying to juggle. But we realize that life isn't about work, is it? It's not about work. You don't wake up tomorrow morning thinking, I wish I was back at the office. You know, I wish I could be working hard on that project that I left behind yesterday. We don't do that. We realize that life is not about accumulating possessions or wealth. It's not about trying to grab the latest clothes or the big house. It's not about kids' schooling either. Life is not about the sports lessons, the swimming lessons, the music lessons. When we're caught up in the busyness of life, during the rest of the year, sometimes it feels like that's all there is. But Christmas is a time that we get to step back and we realize what matters. And it's important to do that. It's important to make sure that what we are living for is the right thing. And we don't want to get through to the end of our lives and we realize you've actually been missing out. Now, one of the important things about Christmas has got to be family, hasn't it? It's got to be family. Whether it's spending time with the kids and seeing them all excited when they wake up tomorrow morning and they want to know what their gifts are, or having their big family get together. Sometimes with people that you only see once a year. Christmas, a lot of times, is about family. For some, though, family, that idea of family, can be hard. Whether it's because there are strained relationships or broken relationships, or someone who's sick, a family member who's passed away during the year. Family can be a painful thing, as we remember at Christmas time. Now, in the passage that was read out for us, for Joseph, that idea of family, it was painful. His idea of family, it would have been shattered. Can you imagine just for a moment, Joseph, as he enters that story, he is engaged. He's looking forward to getting married. This is the person he's going to spend the rest of his life with. This is a person he's going to start a family with. And then he finds out she's pregnant. And he knows he's not the father. He knows his biology 101. She must have been sleeping around. There's no other way to explain this. His idea of a family, it must have come crashing down. It's been shattered. Now, Joseph is described as a righteous man in verse 19. The passage is there inside your bulletin. It's great if you can follow along as we go through that. He's a decent bloke. He's a good guy. And it's obvious that he cares for Mary. He doesn't want to humiliate her by having a public divorce. And so he has in mind to divorce her quietly. Now imagine if that was it. If that was all he had to go on. If that was the Christmas story, there would be no Mary and Joseph. There would be no journey to Bethlehem, no stable, no manger, no star, no shepherds. There would be no Christmas if that's all there was. I was reading a newspaper article a couple of weeks ago, and the article, that the heading of this was, "Hallelujah, Christmas is saved." And so being a Christian minister, as I was thinking about Christmas, I thought I'd read this article. A couple of weeks ago, there were some fruit flies found in a batch of mangoes in South Australia. But according to the article, there's still going to be mangoes on the shelf at Christmas time. Hallelujah! Christmas is saved. Now, it was a bit dramatic to have that as the heading of the article, a little bit of poetic license. But here in Matthew chapter 1, Christmas is saved. Not because there's a bunch of mangoes on the shelf, but because God speaks. God speaks. And God explains two things to Joseph. Two things for us to understand, to see what really matters at Christmas. He talks about the conception of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And so first of all, the conception of Jesus. The conception of Jesus is a sign that God has arrived. In verse 20, God says to Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, we're not told the mechanics of that. We're not told how that works, but we do know that Mary is a virgin. And yet she's pregnant. Now, as much as that doesn't make sense, God had actually left a clue about this. God had spoken about this 700 years before the events that we read here. God had made a promise through the prophet Isaiah. Now, we see it there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And it's a quote which comes from Isaiah chapter 7. You see, 700 years before Mary and Joseph, before Jesus was even born, God gave a promise that a virgin would be with child and she would give birth to a son. And this was going to be a sign that God himself was with his people. That's why he's called Emmanuel, because it means God with us. The conception of Jesus, the fact that Mary is a virgin, that's not a random fact. It's not because they don't know who the Father is. It's a sign that God has come. You see, the people back then, they knew just as much as we do that they know where babies come from. Virgins don't have babies. Back then, there was no IVF. As far as Joseph was concerned, Mary had been sleeping around. That's why he was about to divorce her. This idea about Mary being a virgin, you don't put this in the Bible. You don't make this up, wanting people to believe, because back then they knew virgins don't have babies. You don't make this up unless it actually happened. And by and large, virgins don't have babies unless God is doing something big. Unless God is breaking into his world by sending his son, this baby, to be one of us. Emmanuel. God is with us. That's what the conception of Jesus. That's what Christmas says to us. God has shown himself. God has come into our world through his son. And the question is why? It's an incredible thing to do. Why has God done this? And that's our second point. The name of Jesus. The conception of Jesus says, God has come. The name of Jesus says, God has come to save. Now, our congregation has had a bit of a baby boom this year. If you just turn around, there's evidence of it at the back with a number of prams that have been wheeled in. I think at last count, it was 8 babies for the year with potentially more to come before the year is up. When you choose the name of a baby, it'd be interesting to ask the parents this. It's a big thing, isn't it? What you choose as a name, they are stuck with for the rest of their lives. And so you want to actually make sure that name, it sounds right. You want to make sure that the first name matches the last name. You want to make sure that the initials don't sound weird. You want to make sure that this child is not picked on as much as you can help it. Except when it comes to celebrities. When it's celebrities, you can do whatever you want. All bets are off. I was taking a look around to see what some of the names are out there. There are quite a few names that really are out there as far as the normal type of name is concerned. I like this one from Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette, the magician from that duo, Penn and Teller. Here's what he called his daughter, Moxie Crime Fighter. Now, you know, with a name like that, Moxie Crime Fighter, she's going to do good when she gets older. It's a good name to have. Here's another one. David Duchovny from X-File type of fame. He was less creative. He named his son Kid. It's kind of like when we named our cat Cat, except this is Kid with a Y. That's the name of his son. One of the more interesting ones is a rapper who called his son, this is a bit of a mouthful, snowfilmon.com Cozart. Now, his dad gave him this name to promote an album that was about to come out. And Filmon.com was the name of the record label. So you can imagine the son growing up, thanks, Dad, really thought that you put a lot of effort into that one. But that's his name. In the culture of Jesus' time, the name you choose was even more important than that. It's even more important than it is today. Your name described your character, who you were, what you were on about, what you were here for, and especially if that name is chosen by God. Because did you see in verse 21, this is not Joseph and Mary and sitting around the kitchen table throwing different names across. You know, what name do you like? Oh, I like the same name of Jesus. It has a nice ring to it. That's not what happened. The angel says to Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. God chooses the name. And why Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means. It means God saves. The Lord rescues. Jesus came to save. And the question is, from what? What does Jesus save us from? Now, imagine for a moment if we didn't have those last two words in verse 21. Imagine we cover them up, we blanked it out. How would you finish that sentence? What would you put in there? You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from, and what would you put? What would you want to be saved from this Christmas? Maybe you want to be saved from the Christmas traffic or those crowds when you go to the shopping centers. Maybe you want to be saved from that Christmas family get together, having to buy all those presents. Maybe you want to be saved from work. Or if you're a little bit more noble, maybe you want the world to be saved. We want Jesus to save us from poverty or from global warming, from war, to be saved from terrorism. Maybe on a personal level. Maybe you've had a hard year this year and you'd love to save. Jesus saves us from suffering. He saves us from loneliness or pain or death. When God breaks into the world, he gets right to the heart of the matter. God is the perfect doctor. And he gives the perfect diagnosis. And the diagnosis is this. We need to be saved from our sin, from our rebellion, from our rejection of God, from all those times when we decide that we don't like God's rules, and so we write our own ones. Well, we don't like it when God's in charge, and so I'm in charge. This is God's world. He made it. I like living in God's place. I like living in his world. I just don't want God. And the Bible says, that is my story. And that is your story. And that brings the anger, the judgment of God. That's what Jesus saves us from. The thing that we need to be saved from the most. The thing that we can't save ourselves from. Jesus saves us from our sin. The conception of Jesus, God has come. The name of Jesus, God has come to save. Now, can I just get you to imagine for a moment that this is what Jesus' name means. And every time you hear that name, it means God saves. Can you imagine for a moment Jesus as a little child? He's running around and Mary and Joseph called out to him, Jesus. And it's that reminder, God saves. And as Jesus starts to grow up, he's a young adult in his father's workshop. And his friends pass by and they say hi to Jesus. Jesus, God saves. And he starts his ministry. He teaches the crowd. He does amazing things that people have never seen before because this is God with us. And the crowds cry out to him, Jesus, God saves. Can you imagine that? That's what his name means. And then the same crowds make fun of him as he carries the cross, as he's nailed to the cross, not because of anything that he had done, but because of our sin, taking the judgment we deserve. And there's a sign above his head. And what does it say? This is Jesus. God saves. The name of Jesus. 50 years ago, in 1967, 50 years ago, Arthur Stace passed away. Arthur Stace was born poor. He grew up poor. He was an alcoholic. He turned to stealing to actually have enough food to eat. But then in 1930, he heard a sermon and he gave his life to Jesus. He decided that he would become a Christian. 2 years after that, he heard a sermon on eternity. And the preacher said these words, eternity, eternity, where, oh, where will you spend eternity? From that time on, Arthur Stace wrote the word eternity. Every chance that he got, it was his life mission. He wrote those words eternity in chalk on the footpaths, on the train stations, anywhere he could think of. People estimate that he wrote that word more than 500,000 times. It was his one word sermon for 35 years. And people would wake up and they would see that word, but they didn't know who wrote it because he'd wake up before the crack of dawn to go preaching that message. Arthur Stace knew what was important. He knew what really mattered, eternity. Knowing the conception of Jesus, God with us. Knowing the name of Jesus, God saves. And when we are faced with eternity, family does matter. Being part of the family of God. See, at Christmas time, we take a step back. We work out the things that are important, the things that really matter. What can be more important than this? Being part of the family of God. After the Christmas break, you'll go back to work. No matter how high you climb the corporate ladder, no matter how impressive that project is that you're working on or how impressive your resume looks, does that compare to being saved? Accumulating possessions, the big house, chasing after the kids' school activities, the sports, the music lessons, the swimming lessons. Eternity has got to be more important than all of that put together. Family is what matters. Our own family, being part of the family of God. And so this Christmas, can I ask you, are you part of God's family? Have you been rescued? That's why we have Christmas, because Jesus came to save us. And if you have put your trust in Jesus, can I ask you this question? Are you living as part of the family? Are you committed to church, because that's where God's family meets? Is there a part of your life where actually you aren't living out the fact that you're a family member? Are you excited and rejoicing and amazed that we get to call God our Father? Because God is with us and Jesus does save. Christmas is a great time to remember what really matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks that we get to celebrate Christmas. Thank you that those many years ago, you sent your son Jesus to be one of us, to be God with us. Thank you that when he came, his mission was to save us by dying for us on a cross. And we pray, Lord, that this Christmas, you help us to remember what really is important. That we treasure the family that you've given us. That we cherish the fact that you invite us into your family, where we get to call you our Father. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.